This is the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. I am Mimi Bly, here with Ruth Adelson, to interview Kitty Ruttenberg on December the 3rd, 1991. Mrs. Ruttenberg, would you give us your address, please?
We're in Oakland, 307 South Dittrich.
Thank you. Ruttenberg, would you may I call you Kitty?
Oh, and how?
All right. Kitty, would you like to start with your involvement with the cataloging of Jewish art and your participation in the United States effort?
For several years, we have become active in the Center for Jewish Art in Jerusalem. We're friendly with its director, and the thought came up that as well, since it's already worldwide, it's a global undertaking, and the cataloging pilot project, but you want me now to long tedious effort, very scholarly level, the material culture of the Jews in the United States, but starting in the, so that future historians, art historians, may has been established in this index, and use it for their about what the 19th century, 20th century point of view of artistic and ritual art. Our basic committee is fortunately, it's just full of talent. The women who came to it just by my saying something here and there, and they have various talents, but among them there are art historians and Judaic experts, and in which we already have started to do in two places. We'll speed up and extend among various other synagogues who may have objects where they wish to reach out to individual collectors.
Two places that you're cataloging at this time, would you identify those?
Yes, Road of Shalom and Temple Sinai. But I could give you a copy of the station.
Where have you been cataloging?
Before we leave that subject, I will mention a few that come to mind. Shirley Stark and Elaine Rosen and Sylvia Pluchak, Shoshana Rosenberg, Barbara Trellis, who are doing the indexing right now. We were able to get Professor David Wilkins from the Fine Arts Department to come aboard. In fact, he was very delighted to be asked, and he is on our board and is very actively involved in helping us or offering suggestions. In any semester, there may be one or several students in fine arts who be interested in interning, we will supply them. And yes, you must remember that we're not collecting objects, keeping them in according to the format offered by the Center for Jewish Art. They are now at this first level, they're being compiled on cards. And then when we come to a certain level where we need to finalize the information, computer language well enough to say we will be hooked into it or connected with it or whatever you say about it. You know better because you're informed. That will be done, and that way information will be available. We need to show a certain degree of achievement, and then that speaks louder than any other kind of program material that the director of this Center for Jewish Art, Professor Narkis, was here 2 years ago and spoke at Temple Sinai. At that time, there were enough people in the audience who thought it have some people who wanted to go. We have people on the committee. We're trying to reach out to get more woman, man, per index of Judaica and Jewish art.
Thank you. We understand feelings, what the country was like at that time.
We went in May, which was a couple of months after the this horrendous. At that time, we had been talking to family and friends. We were in touch with them because we felt that we would want to know. When we were there, we saw everybody on our list. And it took a while before the conversation was freely getting into the subject matter. There was a certain amount of tenseness. Just in a lighter vein, overcame that feeling of depression, which they could talk about as having been the mode in which they were during the Scud attacks. But now, several months later, they were able to speak about it realistically, but at the same time, not in a depressed tone of voice at all. They told jokes about the Tel Avivians who came as refugees to Jerusalem during the attacks. A while before, they would hardly allow their own children to come and visit Jerusalem because of the Intifada. But now they were coming because Jerusalem was safer than Tel Aviv. So there were a lot of interesting notes on which they would discuss the Scots. A very deep impression of their being so much brave, because that is part of their makeup already for many decades. But realistic, that they just have to do what they have to do and go on to the next problem.
Did any of them
pursue their normal normal agenda, celebrations, bar mitzvah, wedding, whatever, all sorts of events, all be held early or mid-afternoon, so that everything would be over by 5 o'clock and everybody rushed home. So this was a slightly altered lifestyle, but they accommodated to it.
Did any of them speak to how they prepared their homes?
There were two types of individuals. Now, I'm not sure the relatives who stayed in my home were part of that type. One type would do all the proper and appropriate thing, taping windows and soaking rags, and I forget myself what all I did them. And, of course, most of the time, or all the time, they were not necessary, fortunately, for Jerusalem. Then the other type of individual was the one who realized that it's just too much trouble, and they had a fatalistic attitude and realized that Jerusalem was not likely to be attacked for the reason that all the people didn't care, except that they were at home. There wasn't anything going on. But their lives around the household, they pretty much did what they wanted. In many cases, you might have heard that, in many cases, individuals would find out about the approaching Scud from a relative or a friend, like we were always calling, and they would find out what's going on, and they'd listen or look, television, radio, etc., and what's coming. So where somewhere else other than their own neighborhood might have been hit, because we heard it instantly on television of this end.
Was their news coverage then different than the news?
Understood that it was complete and thorough and complete, yes.
We've been told that you are a world traveler and that you collect art on your world travel. And since we have last...
We started our art collection seriously in the mid-50s. Late 50s, concentrated on galleries and individual artists whom we met privately and became friendly with. Galleries both in Israel and 57th Street in New York, and in Paris, mostly. Specialized in works by Israeli artists and American artists who were Jewish, but not all of them. We were very choosy. I mean, we had to narrow it down to a certain field, because it's meaningless to just collect every case. The art we collected very seriously, and this went on till the early 80s or mid 80s, at which point we decided that something that just cries out to be bought, would we Michael Foot. And some years earlier, maybe in the 70s, we started to give away groups of paintings and individual donations to members, an art collection. It had to be some sense and rhyme and reason to it. And at the same time, we honor the fact that our own children have started to put their names on the backs of some paintings. But that is where we are. I don't know if I answered your question. What particularly did you want to know?
Well, I think you did. We were not aware of how you went about collecting.
The no is more pertinent right now, because what we have around us, and you're sitting here in the midst of some of our collection, they may not necessarily be Jewish art. We haven't got an exact, accurate definition of what Jewish art is. And our own collection, not only our paintings and sculpture, but some Judaic and all our other, if I can talk, Harold, very soon engage someone to do the cataloging for us, although we have the original purchase, etc. But it would be a very project that I would suggest for myself to offer for the indexing committee, are a collection of half a dozen, dozen or less items, carefully chosen, which do have Judaic significance. And we're starting with Judaica first. The Jewish art seems so, such a colossal menorah, kind of, this comes apart, various pieces. Anyway, and then have any familiarity with styles and so forth, you would see that this is a Art Nouveau style of the late 19th century. This has historical significance, to me anyway, and it is a unique piece because there aren't too many of this style around, and also because of the nails here onto which, or into which, the candles would be placed. This piece was in my grandparents' home in Hungary, and we brought it with us. And it probably is one of a kind. I mean, it's one of a kind when it was made, but it's one of a kind in existence.
Perhaps you would allow us to take a photograph.
Gladly. In fact, it was our last year's, or this year's, Rosh Hashanah card, so I have a photograph of it.
I have some information, and I would like for you to verify it and then explain it, because I'm not sure that I'm asking the question correctly. So you've been very active in the Israeli Reconstruction movement.
Reconstruction? Yes, the World Union for Progressive Judaism, which is the international body of the Reform Movement. Yes, we have been for many years, and the headquarters of that body being in Jerusalem, we are intimately related to it, and its activity. Its executive director to Pittsburgh whenever he's in the States, and responsible for the organization, welfare, and activity. Congregations around the world. And of course, in Israel itself, there's a movement, and it is an uphill fight, as you might well imagine, against orthodoxy. And it happens to be quite successful, although in numbers and extent and achievements on the legal level, they have not yet been able to get to the top, but it is a vital level movement. We have a quarters and the facilities for, and the possibilities for having all sorts of community events and celebrations on Friday night, which is, of course, a normal regular element. It's just by chance I happened to be, Harold and I both attended, and our daughter attended the inauguration, or the very beginning of the ceremony, inauguration ceremony, of the Hebrew Union College campus. I wasn't there yet, but there we were, just happened to be there. Our then Temple Sinai rabbi. So we attended. From then on, we took an interest in it. And one thing led to another. We are very proud to have in this large compound, it's called Beit Shmuel. The anteroom to the dining room is our contribution. And I don't know if there's another from Pittsburgh, which is what interests me, from Pittsburgh, wherever we are. Whenever I sign in, especially in galleries and in art-connected, accomplishing a great deal, but they are, the rabbis are not able to perform marriages. They do, but it's not legal in the eyes of the state. Or the rabbinate, for that matter. There are many handicaps they're working under, but if in time this has been overcome, well, there's a wider meaning to success or achievement for reform in Israel, is that the majority of the people are acular. Their religiosity extends nowhere, in no direction at all beyond the necessary milestones of life they have to participate in. Shmilah and the wedding and death. And in between, most people who are secular, of course, have no connection with any form of religion. If we had an alternative, another option, the competence of a non-political person, that I may not give you the correct answer, but are we getting to the end of the...